Bye.
He who has an ear, let him hear the footsteps of Christ as he approaches the doors of heaven to return. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us to the edge of life and death, bound by tears of wisdom. Give us this day. Give us the strength to reach out and touch the face.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Things Not Seen radio program. I am your host, Manti, Christopher J. Manti, and our co-host, as always, the Duke from the South. And we are very pleased to have you once again. And every Friday, please join us, 718-305-7176. Top of the hour, 12 o'clock noon here on the East Coast, and we're going to get right into some headlines. Duke, if you please.
All right, Chris. Retired General Norman Schwarzkopf died yesterday in Florida. He commanded coalition and U.S. forces during Operation Desert Storm in 1990 and 91, which dislodged Iraqi forces from the nation of Kuwait. Schwarzkopf was educated at the Valley Forge Military Academy in Wayne, Pennsylvania, and at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. During his combat career in Vietnam, Schwarzkopf received the Silver Star with two oak leaf clusters, the Bronze Star for Valor and two oak leaves, the Purple Heart with oak leaf, and the Army Distinguished Service Medal with three oak leaves, among numerous other medals and awards. He is survived by his wife Brenda and their three children. He was 78 years old. Amid partisan bickering, top members of Congress and President Obama hold out slim hopes for a limited fiscal deal before the new year, but even as congressional leaders prepare to convene at the White House, there were no signs that legislation acceptable to both sides was taking shape. Unless the Congress and White House agree to a new budget, automatic tax increases and government spending cuts will kick in next Wednesday. Russian President Vladimir Putin today signed a law banning Americans from adopting Russian children, abruptly terminating the prospects for more than 50 youngsters preparing to join new families and sparking critics to liken him to King Herod. The move is part of a harsh response to a U.S. law targeting Russians deemed to be human rights violators. Although some top Russian officials, including the foreign minister, openly opposed the bill, Putin signed it less than 24 hours after receiving it from the Russian parliament, where it passed both houses overwhelmingly. And lastly, visit your parents. That's an order, according to China, whose national legislature today amended its law on the elderly to require that adult children visit their aged parents, quote, often, or risk being sued by them. The amendment does not specify how frequently such visits should occur. Chris, I don't know about that last one. I don't know how well that would work in the United States. What do you think?
I guess you need a good relationship or get sued.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm kind of sorry I reported that, because you never know who might be listening to Things Not Seen here on conservativenationradio.org. Maybe some congressman or senator from somewhere is listening, and this is going to give them another bright idea, quote unquote, as they say. So
yeah,
who knows?
That would not be good. So just quit reading the news. That's what we have to do. Well, thank you, Duke, very much, as always. You are a paragon of professionalism, and we appreciate you very much. Things Not Seen radio program, 12 to 2 Eastern Time, every Friday. If anything changes, we'll let you know. Again, I'm Manti with the Duke, and we are so pleased to have you here. Please give us a call or chat with us however you'd like. Go to conservativenationradio.org, and that will direct you to us and to any show of ours that's on the air. We aim to have a program every day, so please visit often. You can actually comment there right now on how you found the site, and we'll be relaunching here in a little over a week and a half. That should be excellent. And you can always listen live right from conservativenationradio.org. So you don't have to go anywhere else. Just go there, listen live, boom, you got us. Again, this is the Things Not Seen Radio program. I'm Ann Tye, your host, and I wanted to open up the show here today with, of course, Christmas is coming gone yet again. We're still in the midst of the season, I suppose, where a lot of folks are still have family around or vacation time and trying to do the best they can here and relax. And I appreciate that, but did want to share with you something I received in the mail. I am I'm a frequent fan, not a fan. I'm a supporter of the group Voice of the Martyrs, which has as their mission to serve the persecuted church throughout the world. Americans are in the dark about the plight of Christians in other countries, basically, and we're all too happy to not think about it. So what I wanted to share with you what I received, and it's a map, and I get this every year, and they regularly do this. It's very helpful. It'll show you the map of the world and each country, and if they are how hospitable they are to the church. Of course, your United States, Canada, you know, most of Europe is perfectly fine at this point. However, there are three different categories of problems. Number one is monitored. In other words, we're being closely monitored because there's a rise in anti-Christian activity in places that you may not even want to believe, like Bosnia, in the middle of used to be Yugoslavia, in Venezuela. Of course, we've got a great dictator there, and that's going to get worse, you know it. Senegal, Liberia, Kenya, Tanzania, these are traditionally Christian nations, some of these, and they're headed in the wrong direction. Now, that's just a snippet of that. Then we are on to the hostile nations, where you, if you're a Christian in these countries, there are punishments against you by certain sections of the population, including death. Those would include India, Bangladesh, Turkey, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Mali, Colombia, and a state in Mexico called Chiapas. That's getting pretty close to home. Indonesia, the whole country of Indonesia, the Philippines, southern Philippines. It's just not a good situation in any of these places. Of course, even Israel is on this list because you have so many groups that are hostile there as well. And then there's the restricted nation status, which it is the official policy of those nations. The government itself restricts the worship of Jesus, and in various degrees regulates or punishes your belief. And unfortunately, there are lots of countries on those lists right now, not the least of which, of course, is in the Middle East. You've got your Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, China, Laos, Sudan, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Mauritania. The list goes on. Vietnam, North Korea, of course, and Cuba. And that's not even all. I just wanted to give you a little taste of what these folks are dealing with and how they struggle day in and day out in prison, having their families tortured, beaten, and killed, not being allowed to even go to a church. Churches themselves, most of these places are not legal. You have to hide in people's houses just to open up a Bible or praise God. So pray for these folks. And I just wanted to give you a little perspective about what the world is like at large, because it's so easy to think that, you know, the way our situation is here in America, that's the way it is everywhere. And it's not. It's not. Because for all its faults, the United States is still the last best hope of man on this earth and the most free. And even though we have severe encroachments on our religious liberty, and that is true, and it'll get worse, I have no doubt. But the fact is, right now, we're still the best. And if we fall, so goes the world. So just remember these folks. And, of course, if you'd like to help Voice of the Martyrs, we'd love to have you. As a matter of fact, we've arranged an interview with the spokesman from VOM, and he'll be coming up here in about 2 or 3 weeks on Things Not Seen. So we very much look forward to that. And, of course, we welcome your calls to talk to them directly and find out how you can help, et cetera. So, anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And remember, if you are a praying person, to please do that, not just for your family and other loved ones, but for the church throughout the world, because we are commanded to remember them that are in bonds in Hebrews 13. So hopefully that was entertaining to you. We thank you for joining us once again. This is Manti and the Duke, Things Not Seen radio program. We're here till 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And please feel free to call us, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And I know we've had lots of things going on here in our government, and we'll get to that. A lot of things we want to bring up are obviously this situation in this New York newspaper, which is crazy, publishes all these gun owner addresses and names, and then the retaliation by the blogosphere against the newspaper publishing where their employees work. That is a wild story. Of course, now we have the Senate actually talking about new gun restrictions and cataloging gun owners and fingerprinting and all this, you know, wild stuff, not good. And of course, this what we call the fiscal cliff fast approaching on Tuesday, where a whole bunch of bad stuff, financially speaking, will go into effect if there's nothing done at the federal level. So we'll obviously talk about that, and then try, as always, try to keep it on the lighter side as well. I've got many thoughts, of course, about the National Football League and playoffs coming up, and the season that has been a total disaster for my team, the Eagles. I've got, as always, thoughts about the metal albums of the year. I keep track of this. A very geeky thing to do, nerdy, I understand, but I still do it every year since college, and I've kept track since the late 80s going back, so that should be fun. And then I want to just do a wrap-up of the year here, because 2012, very interesting indeed from my point of view and for Dukes, I know, and for many of you listening, I know as well. So we thank you again. We hope this is entertaining to you. And we'll just take a short break here, and we'll be back in a moment, and we will get into this stuff. I hope Duke is still awake. I would appreciate that.
Very much.
You never know. Very good. Very good. I know a lot of things are going on today, very busy stuff. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Things Not Seen radio program, 718-305-7176, on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. Be right back.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
I am, actually.
Oh, me too.
Bad idea, please. Can we stop with the bad ideas? Fairness doctrine, please. It's about silencing conservatives, and that's it. We all know that to be true. So, Mr. Duke, what is happening in your world?
Well, sadly, the chairman of my local county Republican committee, Mr. Jerry Wood, passed away this morning. And this is something with which I will have to deal extensively today, since I'm the communication director for the Sussex Republican Committee. And Jerry Wood was a great guy, and he was a very personal friend of mine. I loved him, and very, very sorry he's no longer with us. But, Chris, at the end of the day, nobody gets out of here alive. We're all just here temporarily.
This is true. Like a fleeting moment. Jerry, I know Jerry as well. Talked to him a lot, actually, back in the primary season, presidential primary season. And he was a huge fan of Herman Cain as well. And he did a lot of great work there for, I want to say for me, but for our team in Sussex, Carol Bodine and himself. But Jerry was just spectacular. And, you know, we knew something was up, I guess, when he didn't want to run again this year for chairman and citing health concerns. And they were more dire than we thought. So we'll miss him for sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
You know, the as you mentioned a few minutes ago, a newspaper in the suburban New York City area called the Journal News, I believe, decided to publish the addresses of people that had permits to keep handguns or other firearms, and put out a map with a dot on each of their houses, almost like those people were registered sex offenders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this newspaper obviously made a conscious decision to try to conflate, as they use to use a term that is in vogue today, the idea that if you own a gun, for some reason the public needs to be afraid of you, whereas we know from statistics that something like 97% of murders that are committed with firearms are committed with illegal firearms. People that own pistols and other weapons that require permits, they are law-abiding people. They generally do not commit crimes. And now some people in the blogosphere, as you mentioned, have decided that they were going to publish the name and address of the people that work at that newspaper. And I guess my reaction to that, Chris, is, you know, fair is fair. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What do you think?
That's the only thing you can do. I mean, we've got to start making examples out of these folks. You can't – I mean, this is the aggressive left pushing. And if we don't do stuff like this in return, then it's just going to happen all the time. Not just – you know, pick a subject. This just happens to be at the forefront right now. But, you know, churches, I don't know, gay rights movement, HHS mandate, disobeyers. I mean, you know, pick a thing, and you can do this, and it's easy enough to find folks' information nowadays, and Google Maps will zoom it right in on your house. So this has got to stop right now. I mean, I don't care what side of anything that you're on. You just can't be doing this to regular folks who want no part of it, you know, whatsoever. You're exposing them. I mean, geez Louise, it's bad enough here in Delaware to get a concealed carry permit. Are you aware of the procedure for this?
I'm not, actually, no. I mean, frankly, I don't own any firearms. I used to own some Civil War reenactment reproduction black powder cap and ball weapons, but
yeah.
I don't know what the requirements are in Delaware. Fill me in.
Yeah, well, listen to this. First of all, it's an open carry state, which means you can actually put a gun on your waistband in full view, and that's perfectly legal anywhere in the state, I guess, except for, you know, jails and national park, I think. Very, very few restrictions on that, which is interesting. But then on the flip side, if you want a concealed permit, if you want the right to put your gun in your shirt or in your jacket or your pants so no one sees it, you have to, among other things, take an ad out in a newspaper that, not any newspaper, but one that has a certain circulation that reaches a certain number of people. I forget, it's like a percentage of the population. It's crazy. You have to go to a major paper. You have to put your name and address in the classifieds and say what I want to apply for a concealed carry permit. Put yourself out there publicly. That has to run for X amount of weeks. So that's on your dime, of course. Once you run that, you need the affidavit from 5 people, non-family members who live in your county that know you personally, who who will swear that you're not crazy and you are fine to own a gun. Okay, so now we have your 5 affidavits from non-related neighbors and a public pronouncement in a specific newspaper, and that all goes to the state. And then a judge reviews your quote-unquote filing. Of course, you have to pay, I think it's like $400 for all this stuff. That's on top of the newspaper. And then a judge can look at it and still say no. For whatever reason, there's no specific ground rules. I'm sure most people are allowed, are granted it. But the fact is that a judge has the final say. For whatever reason he feels like saying no, they can still say no. And yes, you have to sleep with Piers Morgan as well. That's just a little comment from the chat room. I apologize. I did not think of that. One of our other hosts did. Point is, that's just to get – I might even be missing some things, to be honest with you. I swear all this is true. That's just to get a concealed carry permit to exercise the right that I think you already have, which is that you want a gun, you go buy one. You carry it on yourself, and you be responsible with it. What do you know? Well, it's not that easy. So anyway, Duke, there's your information for the day. It's all true.
Well, I think that there are some states that are right now changing their law from what is known as may issue to will issue. And they lay down certain requirements. If you've never been convicted of a violent crime, you've never been convicted of a crime involving firearms in the first place, the state or the county or the local police or whatever the appropriate jurisdiction is must issue you a permit to carry a pistol or conceal a weapon. And frankly, if I remember correctly, Chris, there was a case in Maryland earlier this year or late last year in which someone applied for a permit. The local police or the state police or whatever refused to issue the person a permit. That individual then sued, and the Maryland Court of Appeals ruled in that person's favor. And if I remember correctly, the judge's opinion involved saying basically that the U.S. Constitution makes it clear that the people have the right to keep and bear arms, and the state does not have the constitutional authority to deny that right to people any more than the state has the constitutional authority to censor what individuals say or what newspapers publish or how broadcasters issue opinions or anything of that nature. And frankly, I agree with him. I think that the Second Amendment is just as important a right, if not more so, than any of the other rights that we have under the U.S. Constitution, because frankly, without the second one, the others just don't matter. At least that's the way I see it, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that a little last week, and I don't want to belabor the point because we have other things to talk about. But I think that's the case you're talking about. Is that the one where the guy was in his own property, his own yard? And there was some case where, I think it was Maryland, where a person was in their own front yard with a gun, with their own gun, and the police arrested him because he wasn't allowed to have it, so they thought. And that's where it went up to the Supreme Court or appeals court to some level, and they finally ruled in the guy's favor. But I mean, that's craziness. This isn't it's not an ex-con or he's at some federal building or something like that. You know, he's gonna get crazy real quick if we're not careful here. So watch out, and watch out for Dianne Feinstein too. She's right back. You know. Real, and again, I do not want to belabor this, but some things are on my mind, and I need answers. I need answers now, Duke. If this assault weapons ban, quote unquote, that we did have in the 1990s, why did it expire? I mean, if it was effective and a great idea, why did it go away? I don't understand that. And why did, of course, we know Columbine happened during that prohibition, so it didn't stop that. You know what I'm saying? Am I missing something? Every once in a while,
no.
I feel like an idiot. Why did it go away then?
I don't know why it did. There are some laws and rules, such as the one that we're living under now and for the next 3 days or so, that is called the Bush tax cuts. They had an expiration date, a sunset date, and apparently the so-called assault weapons ban did as well. But it is not legal to purchase or own a fully automatic weapon in this country unless you're in the military or you're a police officer or something. But what they call an assault weapon, if it looks military, then they call it an assault weapon.
Right.
But it's still semi-automatic. You can only fire rounds as quickly as you can squeeze the trigger. And there is, as I mentioned, of course, a ban on fully automatic weapons. And there has been since the 1930s, when you could go into a hardware store in the United States and you could buy a Thompson submachine gun, which... I got to be honest with you, I think that's a really cool thing. But the problem is, back then, people like John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd and Ma Barker and Bonnie and Clyde, they had BARs, the Browning automatic rifle, which is also fully automatic. They had Thompson submachine guns. You know, that is that's the problem with having a fully automatic, because you know, the really bad guys can get a hold of it.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Okay, Things Not Seen radio program coming up on 12:30 in the afternoon on the East Coast, 11:30 Central, 718-305-7176. This is the Conservative Nation Radio Network. Reach us at conservativenationradio.org, conservativenationradio.org. We are coming to you from Blog Talk Radio and the Trinity Media Studios. Remember, Trinity Media Studios, brilliant new establishment here, all the comforts of home, and yet completely professional. So we thank you for listening, as always. We're just getting started here, Manti and the Duke. Every Friday, we'll be with you for 2 hours. So thank you for joining us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. The Things on Scene radio program, Anti and the Duke. And please join us. 718-305-7176 is the number to call. And a lot of interesting things going on in the world today for sure. And again, join us. Feel free to engage in the conversation. It's not just us. Things on Scene radio program. And Mr. Duke, I believe we have a call.
We do indeed. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're live on Things Not Seen with Chris Manti and Duke Brooks. Who's this?
From northeastern Waccamaw County, Maryland. That's a long time
hey.
No here.
How are you, Don?
Doing great.
Welcome aboard. Chris and I were just about to start talking about a subject on which I know you are a considerable expert, which is the recent find of oil and natural gas in Israel's territorial waters. Fill us in.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about that. That's one thing I did want to discuss very quickly. But I want to come back to your Maryland situation with handgun permits. I have for a number of years off and on held a Maryland handgun permit. I don't hold one now, but I have in the 1990s and back in the late 80s. And Maryland's law is very restrictive. It's not friendly to the handgun owner at all. It basically requires a person to make an application to the Maryland State Police Licensing Division, Handgun Permit Section. You don't have to do any newspaper advertising like you do in Delaware, but what you do is you do submit affidavits from citizens without criminal records, and they're subject to verification. And you submit a permit application with a fee, and the criteria is limited to security guards, private detectives, a business owner with a necessary reason, such as making night deposits at banks. Also, it can be a person that has had a threat of violence against them documented, or a former retired police officer. And basically, the last time I checked, that was it until this court decision.
Well, thank God for that decision.
I will say this. I haven't followed up on the decision late. But it was my understanding that the state police had said that they were going to interpret that narrowly, that there would be a complete and thorough investigation. They would adopt rules and regulations within the license. And I'm not speaking for them, but the last press account that I did see out of Baltimore was it wasn't going to be wide open. It was still going to be tight and very much controlled. And they were going to fall back on an AG's opinion on that. Based on your conversation and mine, I'm going to go back and check on that. But they don't like issuing handgun permits in the state of Maryland. I will say this. As onerous and problematic as Maryland's concealed handgun permit law is, if you have a handgun and you carry it on your property, you need no permit. That's very liberal.
That
so if I have a handgun and I'm on my personal property, I need no permit. I just
that
need one.
Well,
a lot of people are not aware of that, and they don't. The state police and local police here don't widely disseminate that. So it's the general perception amongst the public is that it's not legal to have a firearm on your property unless you have a permit, and that's not the case. You do not need a handgun permit to have a handgun or other firearm on your property in Maryland. It's if you leave it. So if you're a farmer and you've got a large tract of land, you can have a handgun and carry that all over the property without a permit. It's still onerous if you leave the property.
Well, I can't imagine that any state would encroach on that at all. How could you even start to do that?
Well,
right, I mean.
I'm not aware of any either, but I'm certainly a very strong supporter of gun ownership and the right to carry and firearms, But I've dealt with, I'm a lifelong resident of Maryland. I've dealt with these laws for years. And it's just a fact, the state of Maryland, going back to when the first Handgun Control Act was passed in 1972 under then Governor Mandel and the legislative leadership, our state is not a friend of the gun owner. That's just a fact.
Yeah, this is true. And also remember, too, whether you're in Delaware, Maryland, or what have you, most states, it's even if you have a permit or a license, what have you, most of them don't carry over, especially up here in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic region.
Right, no reciprocity.
So you got to be very careful with that stuff. If you're going to visit a friend and you happen to have your gun that's perfectly fine in Delaware in your car, you know, be wary.
Yeah, I have heard of reports many, many years ago that in Maryland that there have been police officers that have had relatives that have actually had a handgun in their vehicle, and even though they were relatives of police officers and they were outstanding citizens, they were still arrested under our handgun and firearm laws. That's how tight it is.
That's crazy. Craziness.
Now I will say that that's fair and the law's being enforced equitably, but it just goes to show you how tight the law is here in the state of Maryland.
Right.
I don't like it, but that's the way it is, and I hope they don't find out about newspaper ads, because some of our legislators in Montgomery County outside of Washington, D.C., if they hear about Delaware requiring that, they'll be trying to tack an amendment onto our law where we have to advertise in newspapers.
Yeah, well, watch out. I guess it could be coming your way.
Right.
Anyway, hi, Don. This is Chris Manti, host of the show here. We're very appreciative that you called in.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the show.
Very good. Thank you very much. And we hope you continue to listen.
Absolutely. First time listener. I don't know how you are for time, but I will delve into the Israeli oil finds, which they are not being reported. They're not being reported in our media here. There are some American companies headquartered in Texas that are involved in that country. There are some international companies, and it's so serious of oil strikes that Putin of Russia was a visitor to Israel this past summer, and their companies are so much interested in getting in there and getting a hand a part of that oil that he kissed the Wailing Wall and praised the Israeli government and the people. And I don't know the last time that any Russian went to Israel and praised the country and its people.
That's a good question. I don't know either.
You know, Russia has a very aggressive oil industry in and outside the country. And that's one reason why it's my understanding that he went. And it's probably been very good for the nation of Israel that they are having this oil and natural gas located, because I don't think it's any secret that our government and our State Department in Washington is not probably the friend of Israel that it was under this new administration. So it kind of gives them a little bit stronger hand when dealing with the international community, and possibly even with the United States over a period of time, because now we've only got four more years of the Obama administration left.
Yeah, well, we hope so. So who actually found this reserve here? How is it even located?
Well, there are several oil companies that are involved in that. And I can't get company specific, but I will say this: a lot of it is shale, and the price of oil on the international markets is now so high that it makes it economical to go into shale formations and to extract the oil. And of course, there's a large amount of natural gas. I'm sure you're familiar with the Bakken fields in North Dakota and Eastern Montana. And it's my understanding that a lot of this is similar to that. But I will say this. It's also my understanding that there's also been some conventional non-shale possibilities in Israel. And it just makes common sense. It doesn't surprise me because that region all around the state of Israel has had for more than 50 years a tremendous amount of petroleum. Saudi Arabia, there's some in Egypt. Obviously, you go over to North Africa and Libya, and you come back and there's some in Syria. These finds in Israel are so serious that there's some interest about going into neighboring Lebanon, which also was believed to have no known reserves. So there's just a lot of oil in the world, and it's not being tapped because the international oil market wants the supply tight, and they want the price stable and mostly high. And
is that why you think it's not being reported?
I think that it's not being reported because, frankly, a lot of the media, the, quote, mainstream media, that's a term that's used, is probably so busy with events inside this country. We've just come off of a major national election cycle for president and a lot of federal and state offices. We've had this incident up in this tragedy in Connecticut. We've had problems with our Libyan debacle with the embassy there. I think there's just been so much news in the news cycle that's more of a business, that's a geology and a business event, and I just don't think it's been picked up on. And then there may be some skepticism on the part of some media about there actually being petroleum in the state of Israel. So I think it's a combination of those factors. But
right.
I think
even if it was, you know, it might be a Keystone pipeline all over again, where all of a sudden it's not good to have oil anymore. We've got to knock this down and pretend it's not there. And when it does come up, they'll say it's bad and causes earthquakes or whatever else they can dream up. So I could.
Well, that's been one of the raps on fracking inside the United States. They've had some incidents in Ohio where they've had some minor tremors, and some critics of fracking. Of course, you've had the issue with the pollution of water wells with nat gas. But with that said, I think that you will find that one of the main issues with that business is tight supply and price high. But I want to say this. The reason why that I give credence to the Israeli strikes is there are legitimate news outlets that are running with these stories if you look. And also, most of your major oil discoveries in the history of the world, going back over 100 years, have been struck by individuals that have been laughed and scoffed at. Most of our oil, even in countries like Saudi Arabia, the East Texas find back in 1930 by Doc Lloyd and Dad Joyner, they were laughed at. That was turned out to be 500,000 barrels per day, one of the largest strikes in the history of the petroleum business in all the world. And a geologist from Texaco came by in the late 20s when they were drilling, and he said, "If you strike oil here in East Texas, I will drink it." And that just, and of course, it went. It 500,000 barrels. It was enough oil to provide all the oil needs for the United States military during World War II in both the Pacific and Europe. And yet, all the professional big major oils at the time said there was no oil in that East Texas field. So that same thing in Saudi Arabia. Now with Israel, it's always the legitimate, independent wildcatter. And actually, to be frank about it, individuals who don't even have a geology background that find the oil. The East Texas oil find, the geologist was Doc Lloyd, and he basically said it's in between two existing fields, and he took a pen and a pencil on a paper on a conventional map, and he said, let's drill here. And that's what you get.
Yep. Well, this should be interesting, and not only in the Middle East, but here at home. Any pending new discoveries would sure throw the economy into a tizzy. So we do thank you, sir. I appreciate your call. I hope you continue to listen the rest of the show if you can. And please call in next week if you'd like, and any other time. We sure appreciate you on this show or any of our shows on the Conservative Radio Network. We thank you, Tom.
Thank
you,
absolutely. I enjoyed it. And, Duke, it was certainly good to speak to you again, and we'll be talking.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
See you later.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good day,
there
sir.
There you have it. There you have it, 718-305-7176. Things Not Seen, radio program on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. Please visit us, conservativenationradio.org. And it is now 1245. We'll be back in just a moment, Mr. Duke.
All right, Chris.
You want to change the world? Start to spin it. At Conservative Nation Radio, we do conservatism right.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury HUD NeighborWorks.
Radio program. Manti and the Duke are back with you every Friday, 12 to 2 Eastern. It's now 12:48 on the East Coast of the United States, 718-305-7176, conservativenationradio.org. Click Listen Live, and you are on. So we thank you for joining us, whether it's live or downloaded. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us. So we got we talked about a local conservative passing here in Delaware, and got a fairly major figure passing away yesterday, also in General Norman Schwarzkopf, Duke. I have some memories of, call me weird or what have you, but back when I was, 1990, so I was 14, I guess.
That's 15. How young you are? I can't believe it. I thought, that's the trouble with these young kids today.
I know it. I don't feel so young anymore. I got aches and pains. But
that's good.
Yeah. That's not good.
No. It's going to get a lot worse. I can guarantee you at some point very soon, every morning when you wake up, something is going to be sore or hurting. That's on the immediate horizon.
That's what you have
to look forward to.
We got one of these really good beds, so that's we're trying to head that off at the past, wife and I. So in any event, I actually paid attention back in 1990 and the Desert Shield stuff and all that and Saddam and then, of course, George H.W. Bush, who was not doing so hot himself, told Saddam that this will not stand, right?
That's right. Yep.
And I thought that was interesting. And the history might judge us harshly on that. The fact that we made that decision to basically go to war with this guy. Obviously, the first, took 100 days, and that was basically that as far as the, armed conflict goes. But we never really finished the job, and it cost us a lot. 10 years later, we're still there. 13 years later, still there. And we still have folks there today because we didn't march on through and take care of this guy. I thought that was a major mistake back when I was 15, and I still do today. So what are your thoughts, sir, on that, Mr. Schwarzkopf?
Well, I agree with you. Now, as an aside, do you remember, well, you don't remember, but I'm sure you are aware of the fact that Charles Lindbergh's son was kidnapped in New Jersey in the 1920s?
Yep.
Okay. Norman Schwarzkopf's father was the superintendent of the New Jersey State Police who investigated that crime. Just, you know, as an aside. However,
right away. Yeah.
Yep. However, I, you know, you're right about the fact that we did not finish the job when we first went into Iraq and Kuwait in 1990 and 91. And no question about that. However, when General Schwarzkopf called President Bush or Chairman Powell and said, you know, I can be in Baghdad in less than 48 hours and we can get this guy out of there and take care of it, President Bush said that he didn't want to do that. And it didn't surprise me at the time, because you have to kind of look at President H.W. Bush's resume and his history. He had once been the United States ambassador to the UN. He had also been the U.S. Special Envoy to China. He had been the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, in addition to being the chairman of the Republican National Committee and also a U.S. congressman from Texas, and plus being vice president under Ronald Reagan for 8 years. He had absolutely the best resume that any president could possibly have had coming into office in 1988 when he was elected and beat Michael Dukakis. However, with his history of being a UN ambassador, I think it was almost completely predictable that he viewed U.S. and coalition military mission in Iraq and Kuwait strictly to comply with the UN resolutions that demanded that Iraq pull out of Kuwait. And he did not want to go any further than those resolutions called for. And in that context, Chris, I think it makes sense that he made the decision that he did. He himself almost certainly regretted it later. However, the nature of war is such that civilian populations, especially one like ours, generally speaking, get tired of them fairly quickly, especially today, when media seems to have a vested interest in all of them, and media wants to be part of the diplomatic process of trying to end them as quickly as possible. And of course, our modern American media, generally speaking, is not even remotely interested in an American victory. They just want America out, and they want America to lose. So, you know, these are certainly factors that have to be added to the equation, Chris.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I couldn't care less about – I mean, you're right. Everything you said about the media is true. It's demonstrably true throughout, you know, ever since Vietnam. However, once you make – you know, my thing is, and it's reached a boiling point with a lot of conservative folks, is look, either you're going to win or you don't go at all. And I've always thought that, but especially, you know, since 9/11, I don't want to be withdrawn or, you know, afraid of the outside world or saying we'll never interfere and non-interventionist and all that. I'm not down with all that. But if we're not going to win overwhelmingly, what's the point? I don't, you know, no, it's in nobody's interest to go at the pace that we are going, you know, in Afghanistan or Iraq, or even with, you know, President Bush's decision not to go in. That kind of set the table, you know, that we're not willing to take care of the problem. We're gonna in a way, I'm not trying to diss the guy, but, you know, we're going to answer to the United Nations. We're not going to go any more than what they say. Big mistake, obviously, in my opinion. Never go to what the UN says on anything. Do what you have to do for your country, and that's that. As an aside, oh, by the way, just real quickly, after 9/11, I thought we should have, if that's not a time for a nuclear war, I don't know what is, other
Agreed.
Than yourself.
Agreed. Yes, I'm with you on that 100%. Absolutely.
And it didn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a multi-theater operation. It could have been, hey, Afghanistan, all right, watch this, okay. You know, Pakistan, you went in on that, okay. Iran, you went in on this, you know. Give them a couple of days. If they don't do what we want, you drop a bomb or two or shoot a missile. That'll take care of that. In any event, that didn't happen. So we kind of made our own bed in that regard, and that's why it's taking forever and everyone's so weary about going to war again. And, you know, every time something comes up, oh, boy, here we go again, blah, 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 blah. I don't like hearing that either. But fact is, if we're not willing to win, then these things are going to happen. And as a quick side note, my grandfather brought me to a campaign stop, George Bush Sr., in 1988. It was in northern New Jersey, I want to say Ridgewood, southern Bergen County area.
Sure.
There was a helicopter fly-in. It wasn't a normal stop. The Air Force Two or whatever they called the helicopter that the vice president used, which of course
Marine
he was
two.
At the time. Yeah, that's the one, Marine Two. It just dropped in right into this big park where all the, you know, thousands of people were gathered. Boom, just plops right in. And of course we had our governor there at the time. Who the heck was the governor at the time? Tom Kane or something?
You mean Governor Tom Kane, the governor
yeah.
of New Jersey?
Yeah. It sounds like he should have been from New England, but he's in New
That's
Jersey.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that guy. He was there and some other dignitaries, and then the vice president stepped off, and it was cool. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about it at all, other than there being a lot of people. It was a beautiful day. Thankfully, it wasn't too hot or cold. And I was there with my grandpa, and we watched him speak for a few minutes, and then he flew off. It was, you know, maybe a 10 or 15-minute thing, and that was that. So you could file that away too. So I'm not too. I've always been involved in this kind of stuff. I've always been a very odd character, shunned by my peers for quite a while. So nothing has changed me.
Well, me neither. And you know, before I went to college, I went to a Quaker school in Philadelphia. Even though I'm not a member of the Society of Friends. Quakers, of course, are pacifists, and that is part of their religious doctrine, and that's fine. However, I do remember one of the teachers, Mr. Connard, this was at the height of the Vietnam War, Mr. Connard, who was a Quaker, said to us, if you're going to fight a war, you go in and fight it, you win, and you do it as quickly as possible. That is the way any military person looks at it. They want to get it over with as quickly as possible. And sadly, we have leaders in Washington now who just really don't see that. So there you go, Chris.
Yeah, that's,
people
that's
get
a problem.
The government they deserve.
That's it. It's a reflection of the society at large and the culture that drives it. And that's what we're trying to change here. I guess the Things on Scene radio program, Manti and the Duke with you, 12 to 2 Eastern Time, 718-305-7176 on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. Please visit us there. We'll be relaunching in about a week and a half. It'll be spectacular. You can always go there to click on the show that's broadcasting at the time, and we'll take you right to the station, and feel free to call or email and chat and everything else. Coming up on 1 p.m., another show is half over, Duke. I don't know what's going on here. It's like flying away.
It happens quickly.
I know. We will be back in the second hour. We're going to talk about some things happening around the world, Trinity media-wise. Again, you're in the Trinity Media Studios. And the lighter side, if we can touch on that before we go away, But again, we appreciate your participation. We thank you for listening, and we'll be back shortly. This is the Things Not Seen radio program. Tyranny, Things Not Seen radio program, 718-305-7176, Conservative Nation Radio Network. This is Mantine the Duke with you. We're here till 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and we do thank you for joining us very much, and we hope you're having a spectacular afternoon, and let us keep on rolling here with the news of the day. Mr. Duke, please, if you would inform us.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we had the death of General Norman Schwarzkopf, and as you're aware, and we just discussed, he was the commander of U.S. and coalition forces during Operation Desert Storm, which liberated Kuwait from Saddam Hussein of Iraq. Schwarzkopf studied at the Valley Forge Military Academy and at West Point. During his combat career in Vietnam, he received the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, the Purple Heart, and the Army Distinguished Service Medal, among other numerous awards and citations. He survived by his wife, Brenda, and their three children. He was 78. Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law banning Americans from adopting Russian children, which abruptly terminated the prospects for more than 50 kids preparing to join their new families and sparking critics to liken Putin to King Herod. The move is part of a harsh response to U.S. law targeting Russians deemed to be human rights violators. Although some top Russian officials, including the foreign minister, openly opposed that bill, Putin signed it less than 24 hours after receiving it from the Russian parliament, where it passed both houses overwhelmingly. There's still a lot of partisan bickering going on in Washington, D.C., between top members of the U.S. Congress and President Obama. There is very little hope for a limited fiscal deal before the new year, which would avert the fiscal cliff. But even as congressional leaders prepared to convene at the White House, there were no signs that legislation that would be acceptable to both sides was in the offing. Unless the Congress and the White House agree to a new budget, automatic tax increases and government spending cuts will kick in next Wednesday. Russia's foreign minister says Moscow has proposed talks with the main Syrian opposition coalition to despite Russia's previous criticism of Western countries for recognizing that group. Sergei Lavrov told reporters today that Russia has contacted the Syrian National Coalition for Opposition and Revolutionary Forces, that's the name of that organization, through the Russian embassy in Egypt, and that Russia expressed readiness to conduct a meeting with the coalition leader, Maoz al-Khatib. That is what's happening in the world and in America right now, Chris.
That looks like Russia's on the move.
Yeah, they always have been, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we can really trust those guys, to be honest with you.
Nope. I've been saying that for a long time. No, right, with this adoption thing, that's just out of left field. I don't know what that is about other than trying to, you know, fight a proxy battle or something, some nationalist something or other that will get Putin reelected again and again and again for life.
There were two incidents in America involving Russian children that had been adopted by Americans and brought back here. One of them died when the parents left the child in a car. I'm not sure what the circumstances were. Another one, the parents turned out to be very bad parents, and the child was physically harmed. Now, that having been said, I have a good friend in Washington. He and his wife have adopted two Russian children, and that seems to be working out for them absolutely beautifully, not only for Bart and his wife, but also for their two Russian children that both came to America when they were between 18 and 24 months old. So, you know, in some cases it does work out, but sadly, the, you know, Russian society and Russian culture and Russian families are very, very different from ours. And there are some Russian children who have apparently very serious fetal alcohol syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is not known, that can lead to a whole host of very serious problems when parents try to raise a child who was born to an actively abusing alcoholic mother. And sadly, alcoholism is still a very, very serious problem in Russia. And it's a cultural thing. There is not very much that can be done about it. We tried in this country with prohibition to try to end alcoholism and drunkenness and all the things that go hand in hand with drinking a lot all the time, every day, all day, which is apparently the way things were in this country in the 19th century and going into the first part of the 20th century. But it may have stopped some people from drinking temporarily. Other people went to different countries. You could go to Mexico or Canada, and you could do all the drinking you wanted to. But sadly, the legacy of it is that when Prohibition was ended, there was an organized crime infrastructure that was in place, was operational, was organized, knew what they were doing, essentially. And when they no longer had an illegal product to black market deal to people, they began doing other criminal things, which is one of the reasons, I think, that we have a drug problem in the country right now. But that's just my take on things, Chris.
Yeah, well, like you say, the infrastructure is there. They got to do something with their time. They're not going to be good people anymore. So you got to find something to deal. I agree with that. Agree with that totally. Again, Things on Scene Radio program, 718-305-7176 is the number. Go to conservativenationradio.org, conservativenationradio.org, and find out about us, our show, and all the other shows on the network. Pretty much every day of the week, we're here for you, and we thank you for listening very much, either live or on podcast after the fact. We'd love to have you every week. We'll be here every Friday, Manti and the Duke. And, you know, geez. I don't want to talk about Russia here forever.
Oh, no, why not? I think we should, you know, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
It is a
country with a history that is dramatically different from ours. They have a very different outlook on the way life should be lived. You know, interestingly, Russia during the communist government there from 1917 until about 1990 or 91, officially it was an atheist country, and I have met many Russian people that came to the United States in the 90s, and if you go to a place like Ocean City, Maryland, any summer, you will meet an awful lot of young Russian people there who come over here to work. And every one of them has said to me, why do you think Russia was ever atheist? And my answer has always been, well, we understand that Marx and Lenin were atheists, and their answer was always, yeah, those guys were, and if you wanted to be in the Communist Party, you could not officially worship, but the vast majority of the Russian people are Russian Orthodox Christians, and most of them really didn't care whether they were members of the party or not, so they continued to worship. It's just that the party apparatus did not, you know, they frowned upon it. And if you were seen at church, you were not going to get anywhere in the communist hierarchy. However, I do remember when Leonid Brezhnev died in 81 or 82 or something. And I remember hearing on CNN at the time or CBS or somewhere, or maybe I read it in a newspaper, that Brezhnev's widow said, my husband was a Christian. I thought that was extremely interesting. And I once heard a Russian who said, I don't believe in God, but I do believe he can punish us. I thought that was a very interesting take on things over there, you know.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
you're a big NFL fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I am.
And who is your team?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm sorry to hear that, Chris.
Well, you should be. I'm sorry to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, they will be back. They'll be back. I'm not a super sports guy by any stretch of the imagination. However, I do love my Baltimore teams, the Orioles and the Ravens, no question about it. And I think the Ravens are having a very good year right now. Maybe you know more about that than I do, and maybe you could shed some light on it. And what are the Eagles' prospects?
Well, the Ravens have had a good season. It's looking kind of shaky on the defensive side. They had to watch out here in the playoffs, but they will have at least one playoff game. I think I picked them to go pretty far in the preseason, but it looks like looks like Houston may be our Super Bowl team here from the AFC. So I don't think Baltimore is going to get all the way there. And then the NFC side, the Redskins, it's a very interesting situation in sports. When you get momentum, that's real. That's anything in life. If you get momentum on your side, that's what you want going into your championship run. So watch out for the Redskins, I guess. Although, technically speaking, they could be eliminated completely on Sunday if Dallas beats them and a couple other teams win. The Redskins are out. But in any event, looks like Atlanta and Seattle are also hot there, so watch out. In any event, Baltimore has a decent shot of winning the Super Bowl, is what I'm trying to tell you, and my team does not. As a matter of fact, they could be third in the draft. That's how bad it is. So that means you're the third worst team in the league, and you could be up to the ninth position, something like that. So they're in the bottom, you know, third of the entire league, no matter what happens, and it's just not good. You're going to have your coach fired on Monday morning. You're going to have your formerly starting quarterback out on the street as a free agent. I'm pretty sure about that, and very sure about the coach. And then it's just a matter of who they hire to replace him. If they, if this guy wants total control of the team, that might be a problem. We'll see how it goes. You know, right now your name that's being circulated is something that I would be supportive of is Chip Kelly from Oregon in college, who's like the most brilliant offensive mind in the college game right now, which would be very interesting. Problem is, if he takes his offense to the pros, you need a quarterback who can run it, and I mean literally run it. His quarterbacks run like absolute crazy. So if Michael Vick is not your guy here, then you have to draft someone totally new who would fit it. And basically there's only one guy who would fit the bill, Geno Smith from West Virginia, but he probably won't be there when the Eagles pick. So it could be a humongous disaster, and we could be a few years away from respectability again, but that's all right. If we beat the Giants Sunday, it'll be it'll make me feel good. So that's something to look forward to. Anyways,
I hope it happens for you.
Yeah, well, I hope so too.
So the Eagles are eliminated. They are eliminated. They're 1-4 in the division, 2-9 in the conference. They're 4-11 overall this year, and maybe next year things will be better for them. I kind of hope so. It looks to me like they might be one of the first teams to draft players in the draft, and
correct,
maybe they'll get some good talent. Although, you know, there's, and I'm not a sports expert, but there are very often extraordinarily promising college players who do not make it in the NFL. I remember one from Syracuse whose name was Don McPherson, who was,
yes,
the most scrambling quarterback from the late 1980s, like 87.
I remember
and
him well.
He was an amazing college quarterback. And I think he went to the Philadelphia Eagles in the draft, but he just, you know, he did not have what it takes to be in the bigs, essentially.
No, correct. Correct. It was the very end of the draft, too. He wasn't highly touted by scouts
at all,
and he did nothing. He did nothing in the league. You're right. I mean, it happens all the time. A great college player does not necessarily translate to a great pro player for a lot of different reasons. We are late. We have to take a break here. Now 1:17 on the Things Not Seen radio program, and we will be back in just a moment. Thank you for joining us.
At Conservative Nation radio shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation radio. We do conservatism right.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
And the Duke is here with me, as always, till 2 p.m., and we look forward to having you. Please give us a call or chat with us or email, Twitter, all that stuff. And we're going to be relaunching our website here, conservativenationradio.org, on January the 6th. That's the target. So I very much look forward to that. And let's not do depressing Eagle talk anymore. Yeah, I'm officially bummed out. I already, you know, I knew what the record was, and I knew all that stuff, but then Duke had to come back and say exactly what, that we only won four games. I thought that was great.
Chris, I
really
can tell you, I would not have known that if I had not pulled up NFL.com and read it, because, you know, I mean, I've often said as a joke, I don't know how many home runs there are in a touchdown, and I really don't care. And, you know, to a large extent, that's really no joke. I mean, you know, it's kind of like me with math. The way I look at it, there are three kinds of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. okay, three times. And, you know, now somebody on one occasion said to me, oh, I know why you don't like sports. You were never any good at it. And my response was, you had better believe I was never any good at sports. Now, strangely, the sports that I have participated in and liked and actually was not bad at are sports that absolutely nobody else in the world cares about, knows about, follows, has any interest in. For instance, crew. Rowing. When I was at Syracuse, I rowed on crew, and I really enjoyed it. I was not very good. I'm not particularly strong, but I thought it was. I had a wonderful time. Then I started jumping out of airplanes, and that was a blast, and I loved every moment of it. I put in 146 jumps before one that I did in Georgetown on August 11th, 1980, and after that one, when I was on the ground and I realized I'm still alive, I thought, you know, maybe I need to rethink this whole thing a little bit, because that last one was a doozy. And then after that, I've always loved horses, and I played polo for a while. Nobody cares about polo,
wow,
skydiving, or crew, I guarantee you.
I'm moderately interested in skydiving. That's on my bucket list, so I can always come to you for advice on that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is so different now. About 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I was the jump pilot for Skydive Ocean City when John Bonin was running it at the Ocean City Airport. Did a lot of flying, and it was, you know, I thought it was great, and the other people did too, that I had a pretty long history as a jumper before I actually flew as a jump pilot. And it was wonderful. I had a great time. And now it is completely different than it was when I was a kid. I mean, you still have parachutes, obviously, but beyond that, you don't go out by yourself on a static line anymore. That's how you started when I was younger. You would stand on the step of the airplane, generally a Cessna 182, a high-wing Cessna, left foot on the right wheel, both hands on the wing strut, right foot trailing, and the static line is hooked to the apex of the parachute canopy, which is in your container, in your what some people would call a backpack, and the other end of the static line is hooked to a ring which is welded to the airframe inside the cockpit of the airplane, and you push off of the strut, and the static line pays out for about 10 or 12 feet. It tightens, opens the pack, the container system, extracts the parachute, and when the parachute and the suspension lines and the risers are all completely straightened out, the Velcro at the apex of the canopy is released from the static line, and then you get normal canopy inflation and a brief opening shock, and there you are. But now it's all tandem. So when you decide to jump, you are going to be hooked to a jump master. You're going to be in free fall for probably 40 seconds before you open at a minimum altitude of 2,500 feet above ground level. And everybody that has done it has found it to be extremely enjoyable, and I think you'll love it too.
Geez, how much does that even cost?
You know, I really don't know. I think it's a couple of $100, and now there are all kinds of options. When I was flying down there, we had a third jumper that if you wanted to pay for him, he would go up, and he would be in free fall with you with a video camera and record your jump. And then,
of course, for sale.
Once he
got,
yeah, and this was a guy from South Africa. He was a great guy. He was a very, very good jumper. And he would come back, and he would have it done and edited and on disc and ready to go, you know, as soon as you got back into the DZ office and you know, gave him your Visa card or whatever. It was really an amazing operation. It is so different now than it was when I was jumping. Just amazing.
That's phenomenal. I was trying to get my wife to agree to go with me because I really don't want to go alone. But I might. Who knows? The one day I definitely will be doing that. Very cool. By the way, hope I'm not giving anything away. You know, when you're on the radio and people are listening, you have you form your own image of what that person looks like. And usually it's just way, way wrong. Chances are you're probably right about Duke. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you're not a sports guy. Okay, fine. But the things you were interested in, like riding a horse or fitting in a little canoe boat, right, and jumping out of airplanes and stuff, you normally wouldn't associate it with a person of your size. Duke is football-sized, folks, NFL-sized. He will come to your house and hurt you.
Ah,
that's okay. Well,
you
he's
know,
NFL-ready.
In terms of rowing, when I was a freshman at registration at Syracuse University, Coach Harrison came up to me and recruited me to row, and you want as big a person as you can, because at the end of the day, rowing crew is all about leverage. Every muscle in your body from your ears all the way down is working, every single one when you're rowing. And,
wait a minute. It's not about leverage. It's about leverage.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm making notes. I say, yeah, let's call the whole thing off, essentially. However, fair enough. But that's the deal. And, I mean, I was never particularly strong, but I did really enjoy it. I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun, very grueling. Maybe a little bit too big for horses. That you're right about that. But skydiving doesn't really, you know, your size doesn't really matter. I'm about just under 6'3", and when I was jumping, I weighed about 189. I don't weigh 189 anymore. But it's, you know, it's a
well,
sports.
You're skinny.
Well, back, you know, when you're 20 or 19 years old, almost everybody is skinny.
This is true. All right. We are on the Things Not Singing radio program, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. May I find the Duke here engaged in some banter? Feel free to join us. You can always chat on the page that we're broadcasting from. Also, just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on Listen Live. Listen Live, and you will be brought to us. So we thank you for participating in any way that you would like. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. It's almost 1:30 now. And coming up, we've got some. Oh man, you won't even believe how good the stuff is that we have, Duke. I can't even explain it. Now we're going to. I'm going to review the week in Trinity Media. Basically, just pointing out the things that are happening throughout the country and the world, and hopefully gaining some new fans and people who appreciate what the mission is, and hopefully get everyone here to join. You don't have to actually do anything or sign up anywhere. It's just a matter of changing your mind and acting instead of just being passive and letting things happen to you, to actually influence some things and convince some folks that maybe are sleepwalking through the world. So we sure would appreciate that. And we'll be back in just a moment. Again, this is the Things Not Seen radio program, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
At Conservative Nation Radio Shows, we've got something to say.
What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio.
We do conservatism right.
radio program. We are here for another 30 minutes with you, 718-305-7176. My name is Manti, and the Duke is here as well, and we'd love to have you join us. But until then, I just wanted to real quick just go over what I was mentioning about Trinity. These things happen, and, you know, to say we can't trust our media is an understatement, of course. But there's an undertow of aggression, of opposition, of things we're not allowed to say or think or believe. And it's an attack. It's a mental attack. It's a spiritual attack, however you want to say it, of wearing you down to the point where eventually you'll just submit and capitulate to whatever they want you to. So we don't want to do that. First off, let me just read something. There's a Facebook page for Trinity. It's Trinity Media Page. If you'd like, please visit and like it. Then you'll get the updates from it. The company will be very robust, and we're going to make web ads and theatrical quality videos, basically, things of that nature. And the target audience is the folks who think differently, not to preach to the choir, but to, you know, get on, The Daily Show and your movie theaters and music and the pop culture and start to, you know, basically, A, inform people that there is a different way to view things, number one, and it is okay to think that way, and there are others who do. And by the way, there's such thing as right and wrong and good and evil, and you're on a side whether you know it or not. So, again, these are just some of the things that I thought were interesting. In Iran, our friends in Iran, Grand Ayatollah declares all Christian women may be raped. That's right. That's right. And, of course, this is a very religious thing. He's a very religious man. This is one of the, you know, this is like, a Billy Graham or a cardinal of the Catholic Church or something of that stature were to say something like that. Could you even imagine? I can't even imagine what would happen. The righteous outcry, by the way, of everyone would be against him. He wouldn't have any supporters in any precinct or quarter whatsoever. But this is commonplace, unfortunately, in other religions, which shall remain nameless. So you can get raped if you're a Christian woman because you are not you're not equal, you're not good enough, you're not Muslim enough, whatever the reason. Moving on, Christianity close to extinction in the Middle East. They're the Telegraph of the United Kingdom, that paper there, they have a really good article about that, about how the numbers are just dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. People either are being knocked off, okay, or they are leaving. They're leaving. They're fleeing to Europe and America and to safer areas. But the place where it all began is becoming less and less diverse. Okay. That's not good. It's not good at all. And if you want peace in the Middle East, you need Christians there. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Christmas in Indonesia. Savage mob pelts Christian worshipers with rotten eggs, bags of urine, and excrement. This is what happens on Christmas in Indonesia. Again, not an official, government act or anything like that. Of course, there are individuals who are doing this, but you can guess who the perpetrators are and why they did it. That you're not safe to have a Christmas service in Indonesia. And let's go on to Africa. Same basic thing happened. Midnight mass, Christmas Eve. Terrorists attack church, set it on fire, kill pastor. And I'll make this stuff up. This is really happening in the world. And it's all over. There's really, you want this to be a place of solace and protection. And, geez, no one would ever, attack a church on Christmas Eve. Well, these things are happening. So be aware, but take heart that there are organizations that are fighting against it, or at least willing to talk about it and expose it to you, and hopefully get some good attention paid to it. And because we know, again, we don't have any friends in the media mainstream-wise, so we have to do it ourselves. New media, you know, internet, blogging, the Breitbart method, however you want to say it, that's what has to be done. So that's what we're going to do, and hopefully we can affect some kind of different, make some kind of difference here with Trinity Media. If you'd like to learn more, TrinityMediaOnline.com, TrinityMediaOnline.com, or on Facebook, Trinity Media page, or Twitter, Trin Media on Twitter, T-R-I-N Media. Again, they Trinity Studios are bringing you the talk show here today, Things Not Seen. Give us a call if you'd like, 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176, Manti and the Duke. And what the heck is, real quick, we're obviously, this is we're, the, our next show will be in the new year. January is coming up here on Tuesday. And this physical cliff thing is not it's not going to get solved, right? We didn't miss anything the past 30 minutes, Duke.
Not that I'm aware of, no, no.
What is your prophecy about this? What is going to happen on January 1st, and how will it affect normal folks?
Well, what's going to happen is that the average American family earning between $40,000 and $60,000 a year is going to see a $2,000 a year tax increase. In addition, there will be massive spending cuts to our national defense, which countries and groups of people that are not friendly to us are certainly going to want to take advantage of. And this is something that I think pleases the left a great deal, because as far as the left is concerned, they know better what to do with your money than you do. That's central to their thinking. And beyond that, they like the idea that this country should be less well defended. In fact, there are a lot of them, as Richard Perl once said, who are utterly and completely opposed to the idea that this country ought to be able to militarily defend itself in any kind of meaningful way whatsoever. So the left is going to get what it wants. The media is in their pocket. As a matter of fact, media is part and parcel of the leftist movement in this country, and they like seeing this happen. And a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. A lot of people that own companies are not going to hire new people, and that's a very serious problem. But no matter what happens, the media is going to be on Obama's side. And no matter what occurs, the media will never, under any circumstances, criticize him or Vice President Biden. It just isn't going to happen. And that's enough to make me wonder where all the common sense in Washington, D.C. has gone to. I'm not sure that there was very much of it there to begin with. But it's you know, we actually have some common sense for everybody coming up in a moment or two from our good friend Kevin Wade, Chris.
Indeed, indeed, and he's definitely one to be listened to about this. And you're right. I mean, even the whole debate, they get to frame this, right? They get to frame the Bush tax cut. This is crazy. It's the tax rate. It is what it is, right? I mean, that's what the tax rate is for this income and that income and that income. You don't call it the Kennedy tax breaks, right? Or the Reagan tax breaks, or the Clinton tax raise, right? You don't do that.
That's correct.
But this one got, you know, we pigeonholed this one real good, and they only say it because suckers start believing it and repeat it, and now all of a sudden it's a tax cut that happened 10 years ago, even longer now. I remember I didn't make much money back then at all, but I got a check. I thought, that's pretty nice, some of my own money coming back. I'll take that. This is great. I've never been a rich man. I hope to be one day, I guess, but I'm not now, and I never was. So I got a couple $100. I had a good day. I had a real good day. So that's what it meant to me. And then I would hear my liberal friends leftist friends. Okay, I really don't like liberal. There's progressive and conservative. I got to get that right in my mind, because those are the two sides in America, right? The progressive and the conservative. My progressive friends would, you know, say, oh, it wasn't great. I'm like, dude, didn't you get a check too? Right? You weren't left out. It was only for the rich. Really? I thought everyone got a little piece of that. So let's be serious, okay? That's common sense. And so if they go away, your taxes go up. For most people, I guess there's still a significant amount of the population who doesn't make enough to even meet the threshold of federal income tax. Whatever that percentage. Yeah, I mean, you hear 47% all the time, but whatever the number is, it's high. And that's fine. I mean, I get it. You need the money. We've talked about this before. There are better ways to skin this cat, okay? You know, I'm for abolishing the IRS in total, and you don't get anything taken out of your check, no matter how much you make or don't make. You spend it how you want. But until that happens, this is the world we live in. So folks like me in the middle are going to get the screws put to them. And if this happens, then I'm going to see less in my paycheck next cycle, 2 weeks from now. Not only that, but the Social Security tax is going to go up. Everyone keeps forgetting about that, because that actually went down under Obama. I guess that's the Obama tax cut, right, Duke?
That's what he would like people to think.
Yeah, so that's – even though that was a dumb idea from the start, because all it does is deplete the bank account, so to speak, for future payments, but be that as it may, I don't mind paying less, so that's good, but that's going to go away. And then investment taxes are going back up, and have we even gotten rid of the death tax yet, for God's sake? This is like a no-brainer, right? Get rid of this thing. No, we can't do that. So a lot of bad, financial stuff will happen. I can't imagine that nothing will happen. I can't imagine that they would just go back to the old rates and go from there. I would think something is, they'll put in some kind of fix or Band-Aid or rate for somebody of some level. But, we'll see. We'll see. All I know is
kick it down the road.
That's what they're good at. I mean, more than anything else, is not solving, what needs to be solved. Kick it to the next guy, to the next Congress. That's the MO. That's the MO. That's both parties are at fault there in a big, big way. So anyway, coming up on quarter of the hour here on Things Not Seen, we thank you for listening. This is Manti the Duke, 718-305-7176. Things Not Seen on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. Please go there at your leisure and tell us how you found us. Click on Listen Live and all this fun stuff is going to be there for you. Now coming up on quarter to two, and we have a special announcement from our mutual friend, Duke, Mr. Kevin Wade.
Yeah, speaking.
My name's Kevin Wade. It's a.
Sorry, Duke, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, and I do have common sense with Kevin Wade right here. So this is your weekly dose of actual common sense from an actual common sense conservative.
Many Americans were shocked that President Obama was reelected, especially with unemployment near 8% for almost 4 years. The price of gasoline doubled, America's credit rating was downgraded, and our national debt climbed to $16 trillion, all on his watch. With no experience in business or respect for the American system of free enterprise, the president lost an opportunity to lead an economic recovery and instead focused on delivering a government-run healthcare system like the ones Europeans and Canadians come to America to escape. Real economic growth takes place only when government gets out of the way. And the president's reelection will ensure more bureaucratic roadblocks to real recovery. Some thoughts on that after this. Job growth occurs when people invest in businesses, and people only invest their money when they're sure they'll get a return. Businesses hire people, creating jobs, which leads to an increase in growth. Government regulators standing in the way of business scare businessmen away from expansion, which means no job growth. Government has roles to play, but dragging anchor behind job growth isn't one of them. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Good
Sounds
stuff.
Like common sense to me, Chris.
Yeah, that's real good. I mean, he nailed it. He nailed it. This is what we get for putting in a person with, I mean, not only no business experience, just seems like a contempt for the whole system. You know, capitalism is something to be battled and gotten over and restrained and all this other stuff. It's not just not a good environment. Not a good environment. You know, I'm talking. You know, we've been in business. We're trying to run businesses. You and I, Duke. It's just not easy.
Not easy. No, it's not easy. And the president, you're right. The president obviously has just a basic, deep-seated philosophical opposition to the means that an individual can exercise in America to create wealth. And individuals in America can create wealth for themselves. It is not easy. It is not something that is handed out. There are a lot of people that are having a tough time right now. And because the president views capitalism as being bad, that is why we have the policies, in effect, that are making things difficult on free enterprise, free market capitalism. And you know what, Chris, as I mentioned earlier, people get the government they deserve. They reelected this guy. When their taxes go up starting next week, they're going to have to look at themselves in the mirror. That's my outlook anyway.
No, you're totally right. I mean, you have to take responsibility at some point. I mean, what the heck were you voting for? That's what you wanted. And that's why, you know, the Republicans in the House and Senate and all can fight as much as they want. But at a certain point, look, this is what the country voted for. Right? I mean, that's what they
that's
wanted.
Correct.
Everyone knew what was coming. You can't say, oh, he sprung this on us. And he said for years now, you're millionaires and billionaires, right? Fair share. So you knew taxes were going up. Oh, well, maybe I didn't want them up on me. Hey, I saw some, I can't remember the exact numbers, but there was a poll a couple of weeks ago now where people are asked, depends what you ask them. If you ask them, should the rich pay more, the yeses are a big majority, right? But then you actually ask, what should they pay? In other words, what percentage is enough? And it's lower than what it actually is.
Yeah.
The prevailing, you know, the answer that that you get is that, in other words, nobody knows what anyone pays. They just like the talking point or think the rich guys pay zero or something. I don't know. But whenever somebody says, wait a minute, they pay how much? That's not right. I don't care how much you make. You can't fork over 40 some percent of your income or 50%. That's robbery. You know, that's slavery, for God's sakes. You can't have that. But you never actually get around to finding out what these folks make. You just, you know, if you're parroting your, you know, your political leaders, then you're in a deep doo-doo. And that's what it is.
Well, this is one of the reasons why the famous in France, actor whose name is Gérard Depardieu.
Yeah.
Not many Americans are all that familiar with the guy, but he's been in a lot of French movies, if, you know, you can call what they put out over there movies, but I digress. But the socialist government of France has instituted a 75% tax on the rich, and the so-called rich have begun leaving France right away. Depardieu is only the most high-profile individual to do so, or at least the one that didn't mind if people found out if he did. But this
right.
is what happens. There is such a thing as a brain drain, and there is a capital drain. When countries begin imposing high taxes, people begin leaving those countries. It's really very obvious. I mean, you don't have to be Elliot Janeway to figure this out. This is something that's going to happen. Governments compete against each other in a variety of different ways, and if their policies are not friendly to the people that are producing wealth and producing capital and producing jobs in their countries, those people will leave. And that's what is happening in France right now. I wouldn't want to be there, Chris. I don't know about you.
No, thanks. Actually, I know Gerard. I don't know him, but I know of him because I did see one movie with him in it, American movie. It's called My Father, the Hero. Don't know if you've seen it.
Sounds familiar.
It's terrible. It came out years ago, but I just remember I actually saw this in the movies. I guess there was a date with the girl, but that was the only reason. It didn't work out well at all in any way. So especially, you know, even the movie itself, it was one of the most boring things I've ever seen. It was bad. It was how bad was it? It was on the level of what's the worst movie ever. Meet Joe Black was pretty bad. I don't know if you remember
that
one.
Yeah, that was a bad movie now that you mention it. Yeah.
It was so boring and dumb. Anyways, so I know Gerard, and good for him. Get out. I mean, you can only be supportive of socialism for so long until they start taking everything you own. So get out while you can. What is the worst movie ever made, Mr. Reviewer?
I think that it is generally accepted that the worst film ever made is called Plan 9 from Outer Space, which was directed by a guy named Ed Wood. And you may have seen the Tim Burton film with Johnny Depp as Edward D. Wood Jr.
Yeah.
He was a real guy. He was a real guy in Hollywood. And Martin Landau as the late Bela Lugosi. And, you know, that movie by Tim Burton was a dramatically better movie in every way than anything that Ed Wood ever did. And I think that's, you know, that is possibly, it's generally regarded as the worst movie that has ever been made. What's your pick for that, by the way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot. Like I say, I'm trying to keep it from my my personal experience, you know, with the time that I've actually been a moviegoer. So, you know, let's say 1980 onward. I mean, there's a lot of movies that I like who I don't think they're not great cinema, but I won't say they're bad, even though they've been, you know, panned. I saw pretty much every cartoon or fantasy or sci-fi movie that basically come out in the past 20 years. A lot of them are pretty bad, but I won't say, oh my gosh, that was awful. Although on that track, what was it? Okay. Sci-fi, George Clooney was in it.
Solaris,
maybe? Yes.
Solaris, yeah.
Hated it.
That was a horrible film. That was a remake of a Soviet film from 1970. That explains it. If you're going to do a movie, number one, make it halfway original if you can. Number two, if you're going to try to remake somebody else's movie, at least make it a decent movie to begin with. And, you know, George Clooney is some kind of a ridiculous, crazy leftist. He and that idiot Baldwin. And, you know, they look at the Soviet Union and they think to themselves, wow, that looks pretty good to us. I mean, seriously, that's what they do. So that's the problem with those guys, no question about it.
Yeah, it was seriously boring. I figure if you put me to sleep, that was probably a bad movie. But then I'm watching it, and I'm like, I don't know what this was about. I mean, what the heck just happened? I watched this for two hours.
They didn't know what it was about either. Now, I have loved for at least the last 10 years, actually about 15 years now, an incredible movie. I can't call it a film. A movie by Paul Verhoeven, starring Casper Van Dien and Dina Meyer and Denise Richards. Starship Troopers. I love that movie. I think that is one of the most fun movies that I've seen. I absolutely love that movie. What do you think about it?
It was cool. I have a friend who agrees with you about it. He's just, totally obsessed with it. And every time, you know, I watch as much as possible. I'm like, are you, it's not that good, is it? Yes, it's that good. It was cool. It was interesting, for sure. I mean, anytime you have big aliens and you can, you know, shoot them and make them explode, that's a good movie. Or the Invaders from Mars, that was a funny one, too.
Do you mean the one with Jack Nicholson called Mars Attack?
Okay. Right, sorry, right, Mars Attacks, right.
Yeah, that, now, Invaders from Mars was different. That was from around 1983. That was a very interesting
movie. Correct.
And I think, didn't Tim Burton direct Mars Attacks? Wasn't that a Tim Burton film?
Very possibly. It was something like
I think it was.
Kind of movie.
Now, you know what that's based on? You know what that movie is based on? Back around 1960, 63, somewhere in there, there were bubblegum trading cards that told the story of when Mars attacked the Earth. And I remember having some of these when I was a kid, and that's what that film was based on, Mars Attacks. It was a, you know, it was a bubblegum trading card comic book sort of thing. You know, buy bubblegum, and there would be a couple of Mars Attacks, and there was like 140. You were supposed to collect them all, trade them with your friends, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that was the baseball card situation. I was into that too. Yeah, that's I had the worst gum of all time in those things. You do not want to eat that. But yeah, no, you're right about that. That was a classic. I saw. I love the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings movies, and in fact, we just saw the Hobbit last week or 2 weeks ago.
How was it?
It was stupendous, spectacular.
Did you read the
book? Yeah. I'm a fan of both the films and the books, and
sure.
I was really stunned about how the heck we're turning this into three movies. It's like a one night book to read, 200 pages maybe, and all of a sudden it's three films that are 3 hours long each. What the heck's going on here? But it was just like it sucked you right back into that world that he created, and the music is the same, and the scenery is the same, and the actors are back. I mean, it was great, 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 great. And you got two more coming up. What they did was he interspliced the storyline from external sources. Like it's like the Hobbit book itself is not long, but there are things that happen in the book that you just don't know. Like Gandalf would disappear for weeks and weeks. Well, in the movie, they showed you where he was and what he did. So that takes up your time. Anyways, great, great movie. I can't get into it much here because we're at the end of our program. But I highly recommend The Hobbit. And if you haven't seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy, like I found out my sister-in-law this weekend, she's never seen them. I'm like, you have to go home right now and watch them. It's like saying you never saw Star Wars. She also says she's never been to Taco Bell. So I just go to Taco Bell, get the Dorito. Yeah, get the Dorito tacos.
Wait a second. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want to see if I understand this, Chris.
Yeah.
What is she, some kind of a communist or something?
I didn't go there, but I was thinking it. No, I don't know.
I mean, that's like saying you don't like Chinese food. I mean, what on earth is going on in this country today?
I don't know, man, but trying to get too angry. We have to do this again next week, so we would be very appreciative if you would join us. The Things Not Seen radio program every Friday, 12 to 2 Eastern, 11 o'clock Central. Please give us a call, 718-305-7176 next week, or one of our other fine programs here on the Conservative Nation Radio Network. Go to conservativenationradio.org to learn more, and to tell us how you found us, and to listen live at any time. And I thank you, Mr. Duke, as always, for a wonderful program. And we'll see
you
all.
Mr. Chris.
Yes, sir. And remember, we do have to choose every day who we will serve. So give it some thought, and we'll see you next week. Take care.